Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does God take a boy born in New York, raised in six states across America, graduates from high school in Hawaii as student body president, before earning degrees from Harvard, Oxford as a Rhodes Scholar, University of Hawaii, and USC, before becoming a lawyer, government leader, and president of two universities? Did I mention he also learned to speak Japanese at Waseda University in Tokyo? This is the story of Dr. Kent Keith, author of the Paradoxical Commandments. His faith is anchored in Christ. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio program is to lead you, dear friend, closer and closer to Jesus Christ. In Jesus who loves you so much that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart of Dr. Kent Keith, Suzanne Maurer, myself, well, we're here believing, hoping, and praying that not only would you hear his call, but that you would open your heart to the Lord Jesus as well. Dr. Kent Keith is the president of Pacific Rim Christian University. He and his wife, Dr. Elizabeth Keith, have three grown children. Dr. Keith, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
So I mentioned New York, born in New York, but I did leave a little hanger there with six states across America. Where did you grow up?
Well, my father was in the Marine Corps, so he got transferred almost every year. So I went to nine schools in 12 years. So there was New York and California, Virginia, Nebraska during the Korean War, Rhode Island when he went to the Naval War College. It was just a way of life. Almost every year we picked up and moved. But when he was transferred to Hawaii, I stopped complaining. That was a good move, Dad. And I've been in love with Hawaii ever since. Most of my life has been here.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
You know, I was very fortunate. My parents are just wonderful people. They're Nebraska Methodists. And, you know, just believing, you know, you live your faith, you live your values. The key words are about duty and responsibility and about love and about helping people. And it's not about power, wealth, and fame and all that kind of stuff. It's just about, you know, doing what you need to do to take care of each other and to live your faith. And it was just wonderful. That was my parents, my aunts and uncles. It was a whole way of life. I just feel very blessed to have grown up among those people.
So how did your faith... You know, you grew up in the church, grew up in the Methodist church. In your case, how did your faith grow to be Kent Keith's faith in Christ?
You know, I actually can't remember a time when I didn't believe in God. I just always believed. But as I got older, I became more and more interested, not only in Christ as the Savior, for which we're eternally grateful, but how He taught us to live. Because I remember when I was a teenager, the big question on my mind is, okay, this is wonderful. I believe. Now what do I do? And so what really lit up for me, and I think I was 13 or 14 when I really started reading the Bible and reading the teachings of Christ and saying, okay, this is really tough. This is really challenging, but this is the path I need to be on. It is about loving God. It is about loving our neighbors, ourselves. It is about spreading the word. It's about doing things, because we've already been given these huge gifts. God created this abundant universe. He sent his Son to teach us and save us, the Holy Spirit to guide us. Now we're supposed to do something.
You know, what I find striking, Suzanne, is here's a scholar, which quite often is categorized as someone who is pensive, thinking about the theories or... you know, thinking about the ideas and the bigger questions, asking the bigger questions about life. And but he, it's like a hybrid of sorts. You know, you're a scholar, but you're a doer, and you have done. You have done. Well, when did you discover an intellectual capacity to the level that God has blessed you?
I was just very fortunate to, you know, my parents were my mentors, first of all. My dad spent a lot of time with us kids teaching us, and we enjoyed learning together. I've had really, really good teachers. I've had mentors at schools and universities that really encouraged me, spent time with me. You know, I've just been very blessed, and that's kind of increased the notion that I need to take that and give that back. I need to use that. And I, you're right, I do love ideas, but what I love about them is using them to make something better.
Mm-hmm. What difference would you say your relationship with Christ has made in your life?
I really, really, there's so many things in the teachings that have affected me. But I ended up being really influenced by his prayer with his disciples, for his disciples, at the Last Supper, where he's talking about being in the world but not of the world. The idea that, yes, we are here, we're here to make a difference for the Lord, but we don't have to live by the world's values. It's not about power and wealth and fame. It's not about those things. So this ability to focus on what is meaningful, what is the way that I need to live my faith, what am I being called to do without worrying about social status or prestige or those sorts of things, which are heavily promoted in the secular culture. I mean, we are judged by the secular culture in terms of how much power or wealth or fame do you accumulate. But if you're in the world, not of the world, you're not worried about that. You know, you've got an audience of one. You're living the way you feel you're called to live. And you can, in fact, be successful. It's just that's not what you're trying to do. What you're trying to do is follow Christ and live the way he taught us to live.
What were the circumstances, Kent, surrounding your writing, the paradoxical commandments?
Well, I'm not sure how many of your listeners remember the 60s.
I do.
Thank you, Suzanne.
That's, Danny doesn't.
But that's where it started.
Thank you, Suzanne.
our listeners may have heard about it from their parents and grandparents. But yes. What was happening, you know, I was involved in student council in high school here in Hawaii. And I went on to work with student leaders during the time I was in college. But what was happening in the 60s, there was a great deal of conflict and confrontation on college and even some high school campuses. But there was also a lot of idealism and hope about, you know, we can change things, we can make things better. And I thought we could make things better, but I really cared about how we did it. And it seemed to me that, you know, throwing rocks at police and starting fires and smashing windows and seizing buildings was not the best way, that we really could sit down and work together to bring about positive change that would last because we were all involved in bringing it about. So I was discouraged when I saw students go out to change things, and I saw them come back, and they seemed discouraged because the change that they sought didn't occur, or people didn't seem to appreciate them. And so I wanted them to just focus on how meaningful it was to go out there and do what you believe is right and good and true. And if you get the meaning, that'll sustain you. So I wrote the Paradoxical Commandments basically to get them focused on the meaning.
This is 1968 when it was published. Suzanne, our listeners, we have a privilege today. But, you know, Mother Teresa had the Paradoxical Commandments on her wall.
Wow.
But she didn't get a chance to have Kent Keith recite it for us.
Yes.
So, Kent,
yes.
Please, if you could recite
blessed.
The Paradoxical Commandments for us.
Well, there are 10 of them, and they start with a statement of adversity, and then they're followed by the positive commandment. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds. think big anyway. People favor underdogs, but follow only top dogs. Fight for a few underdogs anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you do help them. Help people anyway. And finally, give the world the best you have and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway.
Wow. Dr. Kent Keith reciting the paradoxical commandments that has spread all over the world over the last several decades. I did mention Mother Teresa. Dr. Robert Schuller wrote about it, and it's just it's translated in, what, over 70 languages. It's been an incredible tool of inspiration, a tool of hope, a tool that I would say God is used to help guide people.
Could we say it should be given along with a diploma for every college graduate, if not high school as well? Thank you.
Well, speaking about college graduate, we talk about higher education. As university president of Pacific Rim University, which of the paradoxical commandments is most pertinent?
Wow, that's a really good question. You know, Over time, I have come to believe that the first one is the most important all the time, and that's people are illogical, unreasonable, self-centered, love them anyway. I think that's the kind of unconditional love that really keeps us together as families and as communities and as organizations. And it doesn't mean that you approve of everything that somebody else is doing or agree with something that someone else is saying, but you can always love people. You can love them anyway. And I think we really need that glue. I think we need it as a community of Christians. Obviously, we can have differences on certain kinds of doctrinal issues, but we really need to be the body of Christ. We need to stay together. We really do need to love each other, and Christ said that's how others will know that we belong to him.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Kent Keith, president of Pacific Rim University. When we come back from our break, we'll talk more with him, as you can tell. Yes, we can go in many directions. We can also go deep or deeper and speak about the Christian university. Why? Why attend a Christian university? By the way, PacRim holds the annual Student Scholarship Gala, celebrating 20 years on April 29th, 2018. A Christian university, an institution of higher education. Kent Keith will be back with more. Stay with us.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Ken Keith has been featured on the front page of the New York Times, the Washington Post, the San Francisco Chronicle, Family Circle, and People Magazine. He's been interviewed by Katie Couric on NBC Today Show and quoted in the Wall Street Journal and Inc.com. He's appeared on TV shows and more than 100 radio programs in the United States, the United Kingdom, Japan, Korea, and Australia. He joins us today. It's a blessing to have Kent Keith with us. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer, my co-host. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're tuning in right now or maybe caught the tail end of our last segment, look, you can get this program in its entirety as a gift to you. Listen to it over and over, share it with a family member or friend, pass it on. I think it'll be a great gift for someone from you. To find out more about Kent Keith and Pacific Rim Christian University, pacrim.edu. Pacrim.edu, they have their 20th celebration, 20th year gala. As for the annual student scholarship, April 29th, 2018, at Ko'olau
Ballroom. Yeah, right? 5:30 to 8:30.
Kent, we talked about the paradoxical commandments. I do want to talk about a Christian university. But the paradoxical commandments, how would you say they are rooted in Scripture? Are they rooted in Scripture and or in the life of Christ?
Sure. You know, I was able to write a book in which I illustrated each of the commandments with, stories from the Bible and the teachings of Christ. I think that what we are, what we're called to do is to do the right thing, to respond to Christ anyway, no matter what's happening around us. And that really came to me in high school before I wrote the commandments. The anyway idea came to me by suddenly having a different way of personally understanding Good Friday. I really didn't want to think about Good Friday. I thought it was terrible, the worst day in the history of the world. How can anybody call it good? And it finally dawned on me that it wasn't just about what the world did to Jesus. It was also about how he responded. So in the face of all that cruelty and pain and hate, he loved people anyway. He saved people anyway. He forgave people anyway. I mean, there he is on the cross, suffering and dying, and he connects his disciple John with his mother, showing his love. Even on the cross, suffering and dying, he saves one of the robbers who's being crucified with him. Even on the cross, suffering and dying, he asks God to forgive the people who were crucifying him. This is just astonishing. I mean, this is really breathtaking. The loving, forgiving Spirit of Christ triumphed over everything that was done to him that day. The world could not change who he was or what he came to do. He did it anyway. And so that had a big impact on me. I realized that our spiritual lives are, of course, partly about what the world does to us, but they're mostly about how we respond to what the world does to us. And if we respond the way Christ did, we can always find meaning. We can always live our faith. We can always find joy in Christ. So I think he wants us to triumph over life before we triumph over death. I think Good Friday was a victory. I think he triumphed over life, and then he triumphed over death. And that's what he wants us to do as well.
Did you ever think back then that it's sort of a thematic phrase or thematic word that would sort of be the undercurrent of your life, this word anyway?
No. I had no idea what was going to happen. I was writing a booklet for student leaders, and it was just part of the booklet, but it's something that I really cared about. It was a chapter about brotherly love, about how we really need to love people. If you don't love people, don't lead. You know, you really, that's a prerequisite. And if you do love people and you go out and do what you think is right and good and true to help them, you'll get the meaning. Stay focused on that. You know, you'll be energized. You'll be motivated. You'll be able to continue to serve. So I know I had no idea what was going to happen to it and how important it was going to become in my own life.
Danny, we're sitting with a man, and I'm going to try and do this without crying, that has been uniquely blessed. And I love that our listeners are having a chance to hear this, because clear back in high school, God was blessing you really in incredible ways. And love trumps all. And that's what you're anyway is telling our listeners, that love trumps all. But we are blessed this day, Danny.
Kat, why, someone may ask, why attend a Christian university?
That's a really good question. There's so many reasons, really. If you have raised your children in the Christian faith, if you are a Christian and really care about your faith, it's really important to go to an institution that will help you strengthen your faith, that will help you learn about the Word and learn about theology and doctrine and how the Lord has been moving and how the Holy Spirit's been moving in the world. And unfortunately, there are not very many institutions that do that anymore. Higher ed in America really began in a way that's very similar to Pacific Rim Christian University today. It began as a series of small schools that were dedicated to the glory of God. They were there to train clergy and to train Christian community leaders. And they were not research institutions. They didn't have intercollegiate athletic programs. They didn't have big campuses. They had 50, 100, maybe as many as 150 students. They were very small, very focused. And that's how higher ed began in the U.S. But toward the end of the 19th century, the university idea came from Germany. Intercollegiate athletics grew. The scientific revolution. Campuses became very large. It really, really changed. And even universities that were founded by churches or affiliated with denominations became more and more secular, to the point that there may be only a few hundred institutions in the United States today that consist of Christians teaching Christian subjects to Christians. But Pacific Rim Christian University is one of those institutions. Most of the others are Bible colleges or seminaries. I think this is really, really important work, because you can learn things, of course, in church and in Sunday school and at Bible institutes, but we are teaching students in depth about the Word, about Christian doctrine. We're teaching them skills. We're helping them to prepare for their entire life as a Christian, no matter what God calls them to do. And I think that's a very special and very important role for an institution to play in a society that's become very secular.
Someone may agree with everything that you're saying, Kent. A parent, maybe a grandparent. Wow, that sounds like where a person should go. Another question may come up, though. They'll say, "Well, what about work? Don't you go to university to be trained to do work? What if my son or daughter or grandchild wants to go into a different field other than ministry? It sounds like this is very ministry related."
Sure. And that's a really good question. And what's happened in the last few decades is that more and more people have looked at college as preparation for a specific job or career. I think part of that's because higher ed has become so expensive that people are beginning to look at it as a financial investment. And what's my return on that investment financially? So what's really been happening is that most people do not end up with careers that are in the fields that they majored in college. They're just not, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. If you start out as a freshman with your eyes on a specific job, it may not even exist by the time you're a senior. Or if it exists, there may not be very many of them, and you may not get one. What employers have been telling us for decades is that's not what they're looking for. What they're looking for is skills. And the major may be relevant, that's fine, but what they're looking for has been very consistent. They're looking for people who can serve as team members or lead teams. They're looking for people who can think clearly and speak clearly, who can plan, who can organize, who can express themselves. You know, it's just really, really obvious that these are skills that can be taught in any university, and they're transferable, and you can use them throughout your lifetime. So at Pacific Rim Christian University, we actually teach critical thinking. We teach public speaking. Our students are involved in teams. They put on chapel services as teams. They plan missions to other countries as teams. So you go down the line, what are the skills that are transferable and usable for a lifetime? And we do teach those, and that is actually what employers are looking for. So you get past the particular degree, whatever it is, and look at what somebody can do. Our students, of course, they can serve in the ministry, but they can serve in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And my guess is that the way the world's changing, they'll be back and forth. They'll be in one and then the other and maybe both at the same time. So if you lay a strong foundation and it has a skills base, then you are preparing for whatever God may call you to do for the rest of your life.
Finances come into play too.
Sure.
The question about tuition, one may think already as a given with the cost of education today, it's a given to go into debt. Some may think that. How would someone who's a student at Pacific Rim University, what has Pacific Rim done, or what would a forecast potentially be for a student economically?
Sure. That's very important. It's estimated that the students today owe the government or banks like $1.4 trillion. It's a huge number. And the average student graduating a year ago owed, I think it was $37,000, which is a lot of money when you're starting out in life. Pacific Rim Christian University, because we don't have an intercollegiate athletic program and we're not a research facility, and we share facilities with the church, with New Hope Oahu. So we use their rooms and facilities during the day, and they use them at night and on weekends. We rent space in a warehouse. I mean, we're very low overhead. We're able to offer quality teaching at $9,960. Now, that compares to the national average of about $34,000. So we're less than a third the national average. We're less than half other private institutions in Hawaii. We do that by focusing, again, on the teacher, the student, and building a Christian learning community, not on having a big campus or a lot of other programs that we really don't need in order to teach the word. As a result of a low tuition, obviously, first of all, students don't have to put together as big a financial package. We looked at the last 2 years of graduating students at Pac Rim, and we found something really interesting. First of all, the average loan was less than a third the national average, which kind of follows the tuition being less than a third. But we found an interesting split. Our undergraduates who are in the 18 to 24-year-old group graduated without owing anything, nothing at all. The people who borrowed were the older students who came back to school, felt called to come back. They have spouses, they have children, they have mortgages, and so they borrowed money to meet their financial obligations while they were back in school. They're the ones that borrowed. And the borrowing could be significant. It could be $40,000, $45,000 up in that level. But our younger students who were just setting out graduated with no debt at all.
That's why Pac Rim holds, right? Holds these annual student scholarship and celebrate, in this case, celebrating 20 years.
That's right. I mean, we're just very happy about the fact that every dollar we receive goes a long way.
Mm. And scholarships are available.
Scholarships are available. Majority of our students are on scholarship.
April 29, 2018. When we come back from our break, more from Dr. Kent Keith. Pacific Rim Christian University holds the annual Student Scholarship Gala, celebrating 20 years on April 29, 2018 at Kolau Ballrooms. PacRim.edu, that's how you can find out more. Pacific Rim Christian University, it's an institution of higher education that exists to disciple emerging Christian leaders by developing their theology, ministry skills, and character in order to win souls, plant fruitful churches, and lead as exemplary ambassadors for Christ in the ministry and marketplace. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
PacRim.edu, that's how you can find out more about the Student Scholarship Gala. We're talking about 20 years of existence, Pacific Rim Christian University. Dr. Kent Keith, the president of Pacific Rim Christian University, is with us in studio. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer with us. Thanks for joining us today. I believe, as Dr. Keith shares, the blessings keep on flowing, encouragement, insights, even direction in life, as we join in our time together. We're talking about Christian higher education. Your model at PacRim is unique, especially when we talk about the economics.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Students graduating with no debt. Now, you did mention some of the older students. Mm-hmm. They do take on some debt. But for the younger students graduating, that's significant. One-third the cost of the national average.
For a four-year private university, yeah.
So how do you do it? What is the model, and what's the value of simplicity?
Right. Well, the model is that you start with the relationship between teachers and students, and you want that to be a community. I think that that's biblical. I think we're designed to be together as a Christian community, to support each other, love each other, pay attention to each other. So you start looking at teachers and students. You ask the question, how big can a community be and still be a community? I mean, it may be after 200 or 300, we really don't know each other very well anymore. We recognize each other's faces or names. We nod or smile, but we don't really know each other. So we're looking at a community that's small enough for people to really know and care about each other. So small, focused on the teaching and the learning, and then you ask, so what else do we need to make this work? And it isn't a lot. You need classrooms, you need a library, you need a good faculty and staff. And we're practice-oriented, so we're trying to prepare students to go out into the world and serve the Lord and advance the kingdom in practical ways. So we want practical faculty. That means basically we want faculty who are doing it. Faculty members who are pastors or maybe professionals in the arts. That, in fact, was the original model in the United States during colonial times. Almost all the faculty members were ministers. So our faculty are all part-time, and they come in to teach something they're passionate about. They have advanced degrees, they have the scholarly credentials, and they'll come in and teach something that they really love. And so they're energized, and they love to do it, and it's kind of a renewal thing for them. So we get people who have the practical background, who have the passion, and they come in and teach students and help them understand what it's going to be like to understand the word and then to apply it when they move forward in their lives. We have part-time faculty. We have many part-time staff. It's about right-sizing, and it's about having what you need and nothing that you don't.
How has God shown his faithfulness to Pac Rim over the last 20 years?
You know, it's been really, really wonderful. God has been so good. It started out as a Bible Institute, and the Bible Institute, basically all of the majors are biblical, biblical studies, theology, pastoral ministry. But it's not a degree-granting institution. And so the Bible Institutes across America grew mostly by adding a liberal arts requirement. So our students must take at least 10 Bible courses. But like a liberal arts institution, they take 10 general education courses. We think that's a good idea. Introduction to world civilization, psychology, et cetera. So they have the Bible, they have the liberal arts. And then when you add in graduate programs, we have a master's in Christian ministry, and we have the master's of divinity, the professional degree that many denominations accept for the pastorate. When you add the master's degrees, then you get to call yourself a university, and in fact, that's really what a seminary does. So we grew in a kind of a natural way over time from a Bible Institute to a Bible college to a university, and we've been blessed at every step. The last 3 years I've been involved, we reorganized, reestablished with a new corporation, same people, same mission, a new legal format. And New Hope Oahu has been very, very supportive. They're our sponsor. We get to use their facilities. During the time of reorganization, they loaned us money, and then they saw that we were doing our best to fulfill the mission and to follow Christ and to be responsive. And they just very, very graciously turned the loan into a grant, and basically we were off and running. Very supportive. We've had so many people who have blessed us to help us along the way.
Someone may ask, you mentioned New Hope a number of times. So New Hope, Foursquare denomination.
Right.
Is this, yes, you mentioned university. It could be assumed, and in this case, rightfully so, but someone may wonder, is it only for New Hope affiliated people, Foursquare affiliated people, or is it broader than that?
Yeah, I really appreciate that question, because it's been for everybody from the beginning. And because we use New Hope facilities, people might imagine that it's for New Hope. It's always been for the larger Christian community here in Hawaii and around the world. Mm-hmm. Last semester we counted, we had students from at least 30 different churches. And that's wonderful, because you get some really good discussions in the classroom. Mm-hmm. People come from different backgrounds, all Christian, but some different traditions. So, no, it's always been open. You don't have to be a New Hope member to be a staff member or a faculty member, but we do welcome them, of course, because that's a natural thing for us because of the close relationship.
Now, let's talk about the faculty, mm-hmm. too. So there's diversity even among the faculty in terms of their interdenominational connections, right?
Right. So what we do is we have a statement of faith. It's actually the statement of faith that is called the Tenets of Faith by the Association for Biblical Higher Education, which is the accrediting agency. And this statement of faith we see as a magnet. It's not meant so much to exclude people, it's meant to attract people. This is what we believe. We would like to join together in a community with you, you know, to share these beliefs. And then beyond that statement of faith, there will be some differences, and that's just normal. There are thousands and thousands of Protestant denominations in the world, and we think that it would be a good idea to get them together. And we think a university is a good place for dialogue and discussion. You know, it's an interesting thing, because a college is not a church. The role's a little different. And at the college, what we really hope is that students will make their faith their own. And that means they're going to have to ask questions. They're going to have to wrestle with a little bit to make it their own. And so we need to be open to that. There needs to be some elbow room for that.
What's the vision? Now, we talked about the past 20 years, mm-hmm. the gala coming up, April 29th,
right.
2018. But looking ahead, what do you see, Kent Keith, for the next 5-10 years?
I appreciate the question. I go back a few years. Dr. Randy Furushima drew me into PacRim. I love teaching servant leadership, and he asked me if I would teach an intensive course, and that's what got me connected and got me started. When I first became involved, I wanted to tease Randy. I said, Randy, gee, you know, the name is Pacific Rim Christian University. You do know we're not on the rim, right? We're right in the middle of the Pacific. And he laughed. He's a wonderful man. He's very patient with me. He said, yes, Kent. He said, we are in the middle, but our aspiration is to serve the Pacific Rim. And I love that. We want to be connected in the Pacific. We also want to serve the rim. So I see us doing more and more outreach. The first step in that has already occurred. We've established a PacRim Bible Institute Asia, which will be located in Tokyo, and we'll be sending faculty to teach courses for a group of 15 churches in Tokyo affiliated with New Hope International. That's a first step. We hope there'll be many more. So as we look ahead, I hope that we'll do more outreach within the islands, in Hawaii, other Pacific islands, and certainly more and more around the rim. We put the rim in Pacific Rim.
Well, serving the church, serving the community, and now serving the world. When we come back from our break, we'll talk with Dr. Kent Keith about, more on a personal note, transitions, difficult times. We all go through difficult transitions in our life. Perhaps he has some insights to share from his own experience, maybe even a scripture verse. It's a word that I think could touch us right where we are today. Where are you, dear one? Do you feel like your back is against the wall? You feel like you're running out of options? Well, there's always hope in Jesus Christ, and he sends Kent Keith to share heart to heart with you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
guest.
Well,
Dr. Kent Keith's paradoxical commandments, it grew. It grew to the book anyway, The Paradoxical Commandments. Became a national bestseller, and in 2003, he wrote Do It Anyway, the handbook for finding personal meaning and deep happiness in a crazy world. In 2005, he wrote Jesus Did It Anyway, the paradoxical commandments for Christians. Yes, Ken Keith is with us today. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. It's a blessing to have you with us again. Find out more about this show at thegoodlifehawaii.com and PacRim.edu, Pacific Rim Christian University. celebrates 20 years. It's a student scholarship gala, April 29th, 2018, at Ko'olau
Ballrooms in Kaneohe.
Now, you can find out more about that at pacrim.edu. I encourage you to take part, participate, spread the word. Again, pacrim.edu. Kent, how has the Lord helped you through difficult times or difficult transitions that you faced in life?
You know, I think that the first sort of big issue for me in my life was, you know, when you move almost every year, you make friends and then you lose them almost right away. And I got to a point where that was just too painful. And I'm thinking, nah, I just don't want any friends anymore. And I started building walls and protecting myself from the pain of separation. I mean, that was before email or internet or anything. I mean, if you wanted to stay in touch, it was really hard. You could write a letter. That's just not the same.
I'm not sure our listeners know what that is.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Well, we wrote them by hand, and later we had manual typewriters. So, I mean, it was a painful thing. But I came to the point where I realized that if I had these walls up, I wasn't going to be able to give and receive love. And that meant I wasn't going to be alive. And that, of course, meant that I wasn't going to be loving other people the way Jesus wants us to love other people. So I think I really took that to heart, and I said, well, you know, maybe it will hurt, but it will be real, and I get to live my faith. So that was a turning point. You know, there were specific instances where I had to decide I'm going to take a stand. And it's hard because, I mean, you ask God, what do you want me to do? You try to discern what you're supposed to do in those situations. You may not be sure. You look for signs. You pray. When I was a sophomore in high school, I took a stand on an issue that was in the student government. I was very interested in student government. I took a stand and was the only one in a school of 2,400 students to oppose what the senior student council officers wanted to do. And they were pretty mean to me, and they even picketed me in the courtyard. They actually made signs and marched around attacking Kent Keith, and I was 15 years old and only been in the school for 2 months. We actually won that issue when it came to a vote. But, you know, it's that sort of situation where you say, who am I? What do I believe? Is the bell ringing? And am I supposed to get into the ring this time? I mean, am I supposed to act or not? Another case when I was 18, right after I graduated from high school, I was a student workshop leader at a student council workshop in the Midwest. And again, it was the 60s, kind of a turbulent time. Adults were sort of afraid of what students would do. They asked me if I would speak to 200 or 300 incoming student leaders. They were going to go back to their high schools and lead the following year. And I'd seen enough to know that most student leaders were more focused on themselves and their resumes and their college application forms than they were in helping anybody in their school. So I stood up and I told them, yeah, basically you're a fraud. You're a hoax, but you don't have to be. You could really change lives. You could really reach people. You could get out in the school and listen to other students and figure out how you might be able to make a difference as a student leader, as a student council. And that was one of the most exciting moments of my life. They came down after I finished speaking. There was a crowd. They actually lifted me on their shoulders and carried me outside, and we had a really wonderful conversation about being real, about stopping, you know, this whole thing about we're just pretending to care about people when we're really just holding parties for ourselves. And after that great conversation, there were four adults, the director and several other adult advisors marched me to my room, said, you cannot make phone calls. They locked the door. They said, you're packing now and you are leaving. And they took me out to the parking lot, put me in the back of a car and dropped me off 20 miles away in a cornfield at 9:30 at night. They knew that a bus was coming. So
they were civil
they knew a bus was coming. But, you know, I'm sitting there on the bench, you know, at 9:30 in the dark watching cars go by, and I'm saying, well, that's not what I had in mind, but I would do it again because it was honest and we had a breakthrough and they understood and maybe something good will happen. Maybe they will do something to help someone else. So, I mean, you have these moments and you have to be humble about it. I mean, is God really calling me to do that? And you pray, you try to discern, you look around, you figure, you know, who am I? What have I been called to do? And is this one of those moments? Not every moment is one of those moments, but those sorts of things happened. And I think those were the kinds of experiences that fed into me writing the Paradoxical Commandments at the age of 19. Not everybody who turns 19 has already been picketed and run out of town.
Courage, moral courage.
Commitment.
Is something that is, I think, a need in every generation. Certainly need it now. We could talk about it, but as you have said on a number of occasions in our time together today, the action, the doing
right,
of it.
Right.
Taking that step, moving forward. Someone listening may be in a position to exercise some courage. Encourage them, Kent, in this moment where they may be on the threshold of exercising courage.
You know, I think it's about being really true to our faith. I mean, you can go back and read the words of Jesus and how we are to live. We're to be in the world, not of the world. We're not to measure ourselves by these symbols of success that the culture promotes every day. And we are called to do the loving thing. And we can't fight every fight. There aren't enough hours in the day. We don't have enough energy or resources. But we can discern which ones we are uniquely able to fight and join with others to have an impact. I think it's about really being who we're supposed to be. I think it's taking off the social cultural mask and saying, I believe in Christ. I believe this is how we're supposed to live. This is what he taught. This feels right. This is how I think I was. This is what I was designed to be. This is what I was created for. And you get this incredible freedom when you live that way. You just, all these things, you can just lift them off your shoulders. You know, the burden is light. And suddenly you are free to be who you believe you're really called to be. And follow Christ, and the results may be positive or negative or in between in terms of how society judges you, but that's freedom. That's freedom in Christ.
Your favorite scripture in this season of your life?
You know, I really I've been thinking a lot about this issue. I've had a passion for 25 years about servant leadership, and I'm allowed to teach that at Pacific Rim Christian University, and I really enjoy it, both at the undergraduate and the graduate level. There is a passage that is found in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, that is often ignored, even by Christians. And I usually quote Matthew 20, 25 to 28, in which Jesus is saying, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever would become great among you must be your servant. Whoever would become first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I think that, again, scholars would say that Jesus talked about the kingdom of God more than anything else he talked about. And the center of that vision of the kingdom of God is a servant's heart. You know, he washed the feet of the disciples. He says in Luke, I am among you as one who serves. And to me, that is the key to the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. that we behave differently, that the kingdom does not break into this world by fighting power with power. It breaks into this world through love and service. And so this idea of bringing about change through leadership that is servant leadership, that's had a big impact on me. I've tried to live it myself. I'm imperfect. I'm a sinner. I've done my best to apply it. I'm doing my best to teach it, write about it, speak about it, because I believe that is how we can leave a huge legacy, make the world a better place, and prepare for the next coming of Jesus.
At a point of action, someone may be willing to take a step forward, exercising courage, showing courage. But now you bring in courage as a servant.
Mm-hmm.
As a servant. Would you, Kent, lead in a prayer for this dear friend who's listening right now?
Mm-hmm.
And change is on the horizon, an impact because of the step that's going to be taken.
Okay. Lord, we know that you taught us to be a servant, first, that you taught us to love you, to love God, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And in that loving, you also called us unto serve. You said that you came to serve, that you were among us as one who serves. So we ask for the courage to look at our fellow human beings, our neighbors, our friends, our colleagues, to look at them and say, how can we serve them? How can we identify and meet their needs? How can we help them to grow, to fulfill their sacred potential, to develop the gifts that you have given them so that they in turn can serve others, so that this idea of the servant's heart will multiply throughout your church and throughout the community and open doors that will allow the kingdom of God to break into our world. We know that many people think that leadership is about power, and you taught us, no, it's about service. It's about serving, and that we need to behave differently if we are going to have the difference that the kingdom of God will make. So we ask now that we can turn our minds and hearts away from ourselves toward others, toward their needs, and the joy of serving them, of helping them to grow. We know this is a sacred task. We know this is a task that you've asked us all to be involved in. We ask for this courage and this wisdom in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Kent, thank you again. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Remember, Pac Rim Student Scholarship Gala, celebrating 20 years, April 29th, 2018 at Ko'olau Ballrooms. Find out more at pacrim.edu. Action inspiring words from Dr. Kent Keith, pacrim.edu. God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. My friend, if you haven't done so, I believe this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. Isaiah 43:2-3, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Dr. Kent Keith, pacrim.edu. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Nelson, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.